For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Actually, our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downey are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/DC 17+. Ends September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
WFAN Sports Flash.
Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, Route 1 in Woodbridge. Jets in Washington, a joint practice, but no Aaron Rodgers. Held out due to the rain. Jets wanted to play it safe, but that doesn't mean that Rodgers didn't try to convince Robert Saleh to put him out there.
He pushed back. He wanted to go, but it's just not, in the grand scheme of things, we're trying to keep forward thinking with regards to week one, and we got a long way for that, and he'll have other opportunities coming up with Carolina and the Giants.
Giants getting their preseason underway tonight against the Lions. Daniel Jones, rookie Malik Nabers, not expected to play tonight. We'll have coverage here on The Fan beginning at 6. Mets trying to take the series in Colorado this afternoon, hand the ball to David Peterson to get them over 500 on this 10-game road trip. And the Yankees will host the Angels, weather permitting. Nestor Cortez, Bombers enter play with, even with the Orioles atop the AL East. Fan weather brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety. 68 degrees, cloudy skies, Central Park, and that's what's happening. I'm Marco Belletti.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Francisco Lindor is clutch. Francisco Lindor is in the MVP conversation. And Francisco Lindor has been the catalyst for this great Mets run. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, a special Evan and Tiki today because there is no Evan, there is no Tiki, there is no Sean Marash. But I do have a very, very special co-host with me today. Special co-host, would you like to say a few words here to the audience?
Yeah, I would. How are you? First, I'd like to say, look at you. Look at you. Look at how you've grown. Look at how you have just opened your wings and flew since I've been last with you. It's just, it's remarkable. I mean, you're on top of everything. You're the future. You're this, you're that.
Generational
you're,
talent.
All of a sudden, you're a positive Met fan, which I don't believe for a second.
Positive Tommy, yes.
Yeah, no, I don't believe for a second. How often?
Well, how dare you question my validity?
When you wake up in the morning, do you like look in the mirror and lie to yourself every day, prepare you for this? Or does it just kind of come natural to you and you know that you're going to have to just deal with it now that you've decided to go this route?
No, so Positive Tommy is not a liar. Positive Tommy, of course, is undefeated. And Positive Tommy bangs a drum of positivity, Big Mac. And you should know this, fighting Yankee fans for years.
Yes.
I woke up one day as a 38-year-old, I'll be 39 this month, send me money. And I said, I'm no longer going to be negative. There are way too many negative voices from Met fans. I have a voice, I have a platform. I became Positive Tommy, and the Mets have rewarded me with my positiveness. And that's why I'm a generational talent.
Okay, I'm just, you know, I've seen you. I've worked with you. I've spent time with you.
With negative Tommy.
Oh, yeah, with negative Tommy. I don't know this positive Tommy. I know negative Tommy. I know severely negative Tommy. I know Tommy who is afraid every time the Yankees stepped on the field with them or the Braves stepped on the field with them or the Phillies stepped on the field with them that they were going to be outclassed, embarrassed. Mm. And it was just, you know, it was impending doom around every corner. And suddenly, Just look at you. Look at you. Good for you.
Yeah.
I don't buy it, but good for you.
Well, you should buy it because Positive Tommy is here to stay, and Positive Tommy has been rewarded because you're right.
Yes.
When Negative Tommy was afraid of the Braves, mm-hmm. Negative Tommy was, of course, afraid of the Yankees.
Right.
And let's be honest, since I've become Positive Tommy, the Mets are now the big brother. We won four, you guys
ridiculous.
Won zero. Well, we won four, you won zero.
That's true.
So Positive Tommy, of course, is undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to change my entire outlook as a sports fan because negativity just really didn't fit well with me. And I felt like this entire fan base and this entire franchise of the Mets, when Steve Cohen bought this team and it was no longer the Wilpons and we were no longer shopping on the clearance rack, I thought we were going to be positive. But a couple years in, I'm like, everyone's being so damn negative. So that's not why we were so excited when Steve Cohen bought this team. Where is the positivity? And I have to be the one, Positive Tommy, to lead the way.
Well, I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're leading. You opened the show. I mean, we did a bunch of shows together. The dynamic is flipped. It's weird. I'm happy for you.
Well, you're dripping with sarcasm.
No, I'm not.
I appreciate it. No, you are. I mean, this is just passive-aggressive at its best form I've ever seen.
Well, you know me. I'm the same. You've changed the positivity. I've kept my passive-aggressiveness. That's how it works.
Yes, the Midnight Rider here, of course, Chris McMonagle. And
how are you, everyone?
Yeah, great. Well,
Chris McMonagle, yes, I'm the secret co-host. I didn't know I was going to play, you know, whose name is it anyway, or whatever line, whatever game you were trying to play with me. But yes, I'm here. I'm back. It's me and you. Good to be with you. And yes, Lindor is one hell of a baseball player and came through the big hit. But I will tell you, in my opinion, it was not the biggest hit of the game.
Alvarez was the biggest
Absolutely. Alvarez, who's struggling, who I think is not the face of the franchise, but will be, who you can point to a bunch of things. A bunch of things with this Met team, right? Lindor moving to the lead-up spot. Martinez getting hot and hit the walk-off home run against Miami. Obviously, the glove being tossed into the stands, the meeting. There's a bunch of different like lines of demarcation where you can say where this season went, Positive Tommy, if we will. And I think one of them, without question, is Alvarez returning from injury. Yes, he's struggled offensively, but he means so much to this team. And as they are being shut down for a second consecutive night since the second inning against one of the worst bullpens in baseball, to have that ninth inning where you're facing, I guess, their best reliever. I don't know if they have such a thing in Colorado. But I guess you're facing their closer, their best reliever. You're tied 2-2, and you're about to lose, and it feels like. I know you're Positive Tommy. I know Met fans are sitting on their couch watching late night West Coast baseball, assuming this thing is going to go the wrong way. They're going to lose a series to the Angels. They're going to lose a series to Colorado. It's disaster. And then to lead off the ninth on a 3-0 pitch, he hits one off the wall, and immediately the feeling changes. Immediately. I know that in previous lifetimes for you, you would have been Negative Tommy and assumed they wouldn't get that run in.
That's correct.
But I think most people felt, I felt watching it, there you go. They're going to figure it out. I thought that was an enormous hit for Alvarez to get to third base. A couple walks in front of him obviously lead to the bases loaded situation. And, of course, Lindor, who's been enormous for this team, comes through with the big hit. But for me, the setup of that inning where the game changed was the Alvarez hit.
No, you're spot on with Alvarez. He's sort of the OG Anunoby of the Mets, and what he does for this pitching staff, the ERA is way better when he's behind the dish. I think even at whatever, 22 years old, he is the leader of this team. It is going to be a lot of fun watching him and Vientos hit homers for years to come. That was a big hit. He's been scuffling. He really needed it. I thought what I loved about the Alvarez triple, what really stuck out for me.
Yeah.
So you're aware of the celebration the Mets have, which of course the Yankees are trying to copy now and they're doing their own thing. But the Mets started it with
the... the Mets started celebrations, you're right.
The booty slap.
No, that's right. But there was no one even thought to celebrate. Everyone was just standing... before the Mets, nobody knew to stand in line. Then the Mets came up with it, and the Mets came up with celebrations, and they figured out everything.
Well, now that the Mets are big brother and the Yankees are little brother, little brother always copies big brother, the Mets have been doing the booty slapping, and now the Yankees point at their eyeballs when they get a hit. Mets started first.
Okay.
So when facts are the facts. So Alvarez gets the triple, and they're in the thin air. They're in Colorado. He was so winded. He was so out of gas. He couldn't do the celebration. He couldn't do the booty slap. Guy basically was going to pass out from oxygen deprivation.
Yeah.
So I thought that was good. But my thing with Lindor, and I don't know if you heard it, a couple days ago, me and Tiki were doing the show, and we had a caller, and I'm sure we won't hear from this caller today, but he came on the air and said, the only reason, and there's a lot of Francisco Lindor haters, there's less now, or they're, you know, basically taking a nap or in their captivity. He said that Lindor is only hitting this season because he was moved to the leadoff spot and there's no pressure, which is asinine, which is idiotic. That's ridiculous. ridiculous because in a pressure spot there, in a spot where you're right, negative Tommy would have been like, we're going to lose this game. Negative Met fans across the board here. And I felt like that series in Anaheim, I could see the negativity starting to creep up. The no fun police are telling me the season's over. Everybody was waiting for them to lose another series here and that game. Lindor in a big spot with everything on the line, with things starting to slip a little bit. Positive Tommy doesn't feel that way, but others did. He got the big hit. And what I told the guy, Mac, and I think you would agree with this, Lindor only leads off once in the game. So this idea that there's no pressure on him is asinine. He just leads off once. That's it. So you see it, you saw it there where he came up in a big spot. He delivered. He's their best hitter. He's in the MVP conversation ever since being moved to leadoff. The Mets were the best team in baseball in June. They've gotten themselves back into it when they were 10 games down. And that's why, to me, Francisco Lindor is in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, I mean, let's not in the conversation. Sure, he's got no chance to win it, but he's in the conversation. But I don't disagree that you don't even need to preface it with he only leads off once. When did the leadoff hitter lose all pressure? I'm very confused.
We have to ask the fellow.
Well, it makes no sense because right now the Yankees can't find one. Like, let's be totally honest. There's plenty of pressure to find a leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees right now. Why? I don't know why. Like, he's completely changed the season. I mean, he stepped up in the moment that they needed him most. He calls the meeting, and the meeting does nothing if they don't immediately start to win. The meeting is meaningless.
Well, you forgot about him.
What's that?
The meeting would have been forgotten about,
yeah,
for sure.
No, yeah, it becomes a footnote. It becomes nothing. He calls the meeting and then immediately starts to rake. No, there's no question about it. When you take into his defense, everything he's meant as much as you could possibly mean to this team. He's not an MVP player, but he's an excellent player, and there's no doubt. The pressure was on him. He called it to himself. He calls that meeting. He starts calling people out. He's like, if you're not, you know, he's like, there are some people who need to look at how they prepare before games. And if it's not working, they need to change. Like, he's literally calling his teammates out. He's got to show up after being, you know, struggling in the first 2 months of the season. That absolutely, Lindor has been incredible for this team. This team's on a good run. Then, you know, their offense has been feast or famine lately. And I'm concerned about the runners in scoring position, but they came through and got a good win last night. Last night was less of a good win. It was more of a thank God we didn't have the disastrous loss. It's one of those losses, one of those wins. They come around every once in a while. It wasn't a great win. It was a solid win, a win you're expected to have, especially when the starting pitcher goes out in the first inning and you got Jason Shreve making his first appearance of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to win that game. So it's not a great win. You shouldn't be celebrating it, but at least it wasn't the disastrous loss that it would have been if you allowed that bullpen to shut you down for two consecutive nights and Lindor didn't let it happen.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. We will get to the Yankees in a little bit there, but they do have two leadoff hitters, Volpe and Jazz. But Aaron Boone, big fan of Lugi, by the way.
Yeah.
For some reason, doesn't put him in the leadoff spot. Now, more on Lindor here.
Aaron Boone's a big fan of Lugi?
Yes.
When I met him. From
Aaron Boone. When I met him, he went, Lugi? And I said, yeah. And I said, yeah, what's up? He goes, you're doing a great job. And I said, yeah, I'm the generational talent. I'm the future of the station. So Aaron Boone, big fan of Lugi. But that doesn't mean I can't
ask about Big Mac?
No.
He should.
No.
Because I'm literally in the trenches with him every single night.
No.
Both him and Brian Cashman should have my name on their fingertips, on the tip of their tongue, because I'm literally in the trenches fighting everyone.
I'm tired of this.
Keith McPherson gets a shout out. Now he's a big fan of Lugi. Where's my love?
You know, it's
all
funny.
Because right? I'm getting lambasted left and right for my Aaron
you.
Boone takes.
Yeah, it's clearly bothering you. I asked Boone about you. I said, what do you think of Chris McMonagle? And he said, who? Lindor. I think the reason Lindor's gotten a lot of crap in this town, and like I said, the haters have been more silent, but they're waiting there. We know that. And they move the goalposts because last year I heard about Lindor. Oh, he only hit when the season was over. And then earlier this year I heard from the Lindor haters that said, oh, he was bad early in the season and the Mets are out of it. Well, he was. But when he started hitting and he's moved to the Lido spot and got going, this team turned around. I think the hate for Lindor is a few things. Number one, the contract, which, by the way, it's Steve Cohen's money. It's not our money. If our salaries dropped on the floor, Steve Cohen wouldn't pick it up. He's a billionaire. So who cares what he's making? And by the way, Lindor has lived up to the contract. He was great last year. He's been great this year. So he's lived up to that.
He was great last year?
He was great. No, 30 home runs, 30 steals, 100 runs.
The issue, and sorry to interrupt you, the issue with Lindor and the hate for him is last year when the team was collapsing in June, he was nowhere to be found. This year's different. But that's what, let's be honest about last year. He might have ended up with a great year. It wasn't until the season was dead. Like, that's the issue with Lindor. Now, I'm on step with you completely about what he's meant to them this year. But you got to admit, last year and at the beginning part of this year when it felt like the season was dying, where was Lindor? He turned it on this year just in time. But it's also because of Nimmo turning it on. It's also because of every single player up and Bader having a career year, Iglesias having a career year, Taylor having a career year. I can list on, you know, other than Pete Alonso, everybody in this freaking lineup, Vientos, who we all celebrated. I remember I was filling in for Sal Licata the day they signed JD Martinez, and he called up into the show and was thrilled to be sending Vientos back to the minors. This guy's got a 900 OPS.
He's a rock star.
He's killing it.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, Lindor, no doubt, but it takes a village, and they needed everyone else to step up with Lindor. He led them, but the difference is last year he was terrible while the season was collapsing in Pittsburgh in June.
Yeah, look, the lineup is obviously very deep, and that's been a big part of the Mets' success, and I felt going into the season that the Mets would have a very good lineup, a special lineup, and they've really been that. I mean, they've been struggling a little bit lately with runners in scoring position, but the reason why I have to continue to feel like I have to defend Lindor is because even a couple days ago, when Lindor's having this, in my opinion, MVP type of season, you have callers saying, oh, he shouldn't be, he's in the leadoff spot, it's no pressure, and I think it just goes back to people just don't like this guy. This is just my opinion. I think it's the fact that he dyes his hair, his ears are pierced, his glove looks like something I'd wear at the Electric Daisy Carnival. He's not a ball player. He doesn't fit the mold of what people think a baseball player should look like. He smiles a lot. So did Buddy the Elf. Smiling was his favorite. And people just don't like him, Mac. Now, you brought up good baseball points there, and I don't think you're one of those people because you're giving him his credit now. But the guy just continues to get bashed by the Lindor haters, and I think a lot of it has to do with his style, his swagger, his contract, and they just won't give him his flowers, even when he's earned it, and they try to find excuses and move the goalposts on this guy.
I don't know about that. I think it has to do with when you trade for this premier player and you pay him, and it's the first move of the Steve Cohen era, and he never gives you a season like he had in Cleveland. Let's be fair. Up until this point, I know last year at power, maybe, or RBIs, certainly, were maybe as good as he was in Cleveland, but he hasn't been the same player he was in Cleveland up until this stretch this season. So it's you added a player for that kind of money. He was never as good as he was in his previous stop, and he was struggling while the team was floundering last year, and he couldn't help them. So, I mean, I don't think it's so much about the stuff you're saying. Are there pockets of Met fans who might feel the way you feel or the way you think they feel? Possibly. But I think it's much more of a baseball reason. And I don't think there's much hate for him right now. I think this is positive Tommy overreacting to a couple dopes here. Like, I think the feeling around Lindor, listen, he can't go into a slump. I'll give you that. All right. There's very little. If he struggles for the next month, you're going to hear it because he's got to be the guy. And as they are now, a half a game out of the third wild card, if that continues to get bigger, right? If it's three games while Lindor's struggling, if it's four games while Lindor's struggling, sure, he's going to get some hate. But right now, I think you're a little over the top with MVP, but I think most people are pretty positive about what Lindor's doing, no?
Yeah, but well, yes, but I still think there's people like that don't think he should be the MVP, and we haven't heard.
Well, he shouldn't be the MVP.
Well, he's definitely in the conversation. We haven't heard from the batting average police. I'm sure we will. 888-808-1019. By the way, Mac, have you made any vacation plans for October yet?
Have I made any vacation plans? No, I'm a Yankee fan. I don't make vacation plans.
Because I wouldn't, because the Mets will be playing baseball.
But the Yankees are going to be playing baseball further.
You're a New Yorker.
Well, that's how it goes.
Like, radio host.
Remember, we heard all this stuff last year. 2 years ago, they won 101 games. They're better than the Yankees.
Mets will be playing baseball.
Yankees only won 99 games. Right. They won 101. Yeah. And then, the Yankees were playing in the ALCS and the Mets were out in the wild card.
So you haven't made vacation plans in October. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't make vacation plans. I know this is new to you, that you keep October open. I do this every year.
Gotcha.
I make sure the October's open every single year.
But I just want you to let you know that if you were planning on it, you go apple picking, even stuff like pumpkin picking, don't. No hate for the McMonagles, because the Mets will be playing baseball.
But my point is my schedule is always open on October because I recognize that my baseball team always plays in October.
Ah, the little brother in town, right?
No, you say so.
Yeah, well, four wins for the Mets, zero wins for the Yankees.
And I said this, and I 100% agree with it. During that stretch of hideous baseball, and really, you want to take back the second half of last year, 2021, some of the ugliest we've seen the Yankees play in recent history. Nobody, and I mean nobody, including the Astros, it's in the playoffs, it's a little different, but nobody in the course of the regular season has rubbed their nose in it and made us Yankee fans feel like, my God, we don't belong like the New York Mets.
Okay.
That's just true. They absolutely pounded the Yankees in those four games, pounded them.
Two things, and we will get to your calls here. Me and Mac have not done a show in a while, so there's a lot of things we're going to cover. We're going to be all over the place, especially if I'm leading the show. My brain's all over the place.
Yeah.
Two things I want you to hit on here, and we will get to your calls here in 1 second, 888-808-1019. I will give you the floor here to defend J.D. Davis batting cleanup.
Yeah, I have no defense for it. I understand why he played, I have no idea why he hit cleanup. Okay. I can't defend it.
All
he,
right.
He was brought here to hit lefties. And you know what this is? You want to talk about crazy fan base? No, no, no. You want to get into it?
He had three of the worst at-bats at that game at Yankee Stadium. It was embarrassing.
No,
I was like the first front row.
He was coming off the injury. There was no reason to hit him cleanup. I can't defend it. I understand why he's in the lineup. And I understand why Jones was in the lineup, too. I was with Evan the previous week when he played against the Orioles, and I was screaming. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how is Jones in the lineup against the Orioles? He came through with really good at-bats and an RBI single. So I understood. They traded for him to see if he could hit left-handed pitching. They tried it. But here's the thing about the Yankee fans, and we talk about Yankee fan mindset. He was just picked up by the Baltimore Orioles.
Yes, he was. Right. And he'll play the Mets and the Yankees this season.
Right. And I guarantee you, every single Yankee fan that killed Brian Cashman, that killed Boone, saying, how the hell could you pick this bum up, is sitting there right now saying to themselves, this guy's going to mash for Baltimore. He's going to kill us. He's going to absolutely take fire with Baltimore. That's what every single Yankee fan is thinking. The same dopes who killed Brian Cashman. How would you even pick this guy up?
Nope.
It's an embarrassment with the New York Yankees. How is he even on the roster? They're all sitting there right now going, Baltimore's smart. This guy's going to kill it for them.
No, you're 100%
absolutely
right. All right, that's number one. Number two is this. And I've been dying to talk to you about this because I had a big rant on it after the game. All right, so game one at Yankee Stadium, right? Third game of the Subway Series.
Yeah.
Mets win the game. You alluded to it. We did our show at the Hard Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Evan, Tiki, Sean, and myself, we were at the game. Tiki, of course, left in the fifth inning. Even Craig stayed longer than Tiki, but I get it because a lot of people are going to come up to Tiki. You want to do the exit and get out of there early. So we win the game. Dramatic game. Obviously, Aaron Judge, like the rest of us, was watching the Subway Series because he struck out looking a few times there. And Jake Diekman now will be, you know, a trivia question. I'm walking out of Yankee Stadium, and the Yankee bros are there, and everybody's upset, and I wasn't. I was very happy, and you know what I was doing, Big Mac? I was skipping. I was high-fiving other Met fans, and I was singing.
Can you skip in those tight jeans?
I wasn't wearing jeans, but yeah, you're right. Well, I'm a lean cuisine, so I girls would kill for my legs. I have chicken legs.
I hear you.
So I'm singing a song.
They kill for the pants you wear, too.
Well, I'm sure. I buy them in the women's section. This is what I would say. I was singing
this
a song.
This is why I'm a generational talent.
And that's why I'm the future.
Yep.
I was singing a song by the late, great Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. And I just got to tell you this, man.
Yeah.
I don't care. I understand the history of it. You used to play Liza Minnelli. She didn't like it because it was, you know, a loss. And that is, you know, she didn't want to be associated with a loss.
Mm-hmm.
When the Mets go in your building and they go into Yankee Stadium and they whoop your ass and you play that song, which should be associated with wins, with World Series wins, that is a disgrace. That is tone deaf. That needs to change. And Yankee fans, I'm here for you. That is a joke. Play something else. Play nothing. Play another song. That is an iconic song that is associated with the Yankees and wins and World Series. When the Mets go in there and become the big brother and beat you, and you got Met fans like me and Evan singing a song while we're leaving, I felt bad and embarrassed for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I agree with you, but I don't think it's an embarrassment, nor do I really care. Do I really care what song is playing? I feel like Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny. Do I really care what kind of pants the guy who shot me was wearing? Like, I lose, I'm walking out. I really don't care what song is playing. I agree with you. It should be about winning. It should, certainly when they're playing the Mets, you know, you're celebrating New York as the New York Mets just kicked the tar out of the
Yankees.
That's
really my point here.
I get it, but it's what they do now. I'm sorry. I can't get hung up on it. I can't. They play Frank Sinatra at the end of every game. That's what they do.
I get
as
it.
As you get to, as
but this
you
is
go
not
home,
the Mariners. This is the Mets.
I understand that. But this, it's an experience at Yankee Stadium. You came to the game. You had some fun. You made some memories with the kids. See ya. We play Frank on the way out. It's just what it is.
I just think in that spot, you probably shouldn't play. But if the Mets did that,
really,
Mac, we would get criticized and they would get ridiculed forever.
Well, start winning and you won't get criticized for stuff. Like, honestly, it's the same thing with the Jets. The Jets get criticized for every move they make. You know why? Because they haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. Do something and people won't criticize.
But you got to be fair. It's got to be both ends. You can't just because you're the Yankees not be criticized for doing something dumb like that.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's just what it is. Like, do you honestly think there's any Yankee fan leaving Yankee Stadium going, how the hell are they playing Frank right now? Like, I don't
care. But I bet you that same Yankee fan is sitting there right now going, man, Lugie's got a real good point. And the next time they do that, like, for special situations, if you win, you know, 2 out of 3 and in the third game you lost to Cleveland, they play Frank, I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Mets go in there and kick your ass and you got Met fans, you know, taking over the building because you got Yankee fans. Now, I didn't even get to game two. Game two, when Yankee fans left early, which I don't have an issue with, but they're halfway home on the Southern State Parkway, and you got Met fans, basically the only people there, and they're singing Frank Sinatra.
Right.
That's a bad look.
Yeah.
After we sweep the season series,
that's a bad look. That's the bad look. You're not seeing the forest through the trees, my friend. They just got their ass kicked by the Mets. I don't care who's singing or what's doing what. I'm embarrassed. I want to get the hell out of there. I don't care what song they're playing.
All right.
plays closing time by Semisonic. I don't really give a damn what you play. I got to get the hell out of there.
We'll get one call in here before we go to break. Let's go to Larry and Wantagh. What's up, Larry?
What's up, Lugie?
What's going on, dude?
What's
up, C-Mac?
How we doing, buddy?
I got to ask you this. When was the last time you saw an MVP batting 254, 22 home runs, and won't even hit 100 RBI?
Batting average is overrated. It's a statistic that will be gone in 10 years, Larry. It's OPS.
Tommy, look at all the top five guys' averages and home runs RBIs right now. They're all over 300.
But it's about scoring runs. What's his average been the last couple months? He got off to such a horrible start.
He's been good.
So when the Mets have been good and they've been going, hold on, Larry. I'll let you finish. When they have been on this run and they've gotten themselves back into essentially their half a game out of the postseason, his batting average has been high. It was north of 300 for at least a month or so. So when they've been winning, his batting average has been there. I'm not a big batting average guy. I just told you I think it's going to go to the wayside. But his numbers were there when they were making the run. That's why he's so valuable.
I get it. You're right, Tommy. And also the numbers now with batting averages. Yeah. I'm not saying he's got to be batting 300, but he's got to be up at 270.
Batting average doesn't really matter all that much. Tommy's not wrong. I don't know if it's going to be gone in 10 years.
Thanks, Larry.
Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Mookie Betts has been gone for how long, right? Freddie Freeman's been dealing with the unfortunate situation with his son. Yep. Just terrible stuff. He's going to, he's been back, he's been playing. But Shohei Ohtani leads the league in runs scored, home runs, batting average, slugging, OPS, OPS plus, and total bases.
Pretty good.
He's got 34 home runs, 81 RBIs. He's hitting .302, and his OPS is 1.008. Sorry. Lindor is not the MVP.
I said he's in the conversation.
I get it, but I mean, you in the conversation. I'm in the conversation to be in the future of the station. Doesn't mean I am.
No, I am.
No, right. Well, so you say. You've put yourself in the conversation. So don't make it true.
Yes, this is why I'm the future. Exactly. Even Salicata said it once that I was
did
the future.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
I'm sure
Lugie.
He did. Was
out
sure
of context
there was no
and
sarcasm
I played all the time.
His, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It was dripping with sarcasm. All right, we got to get to a break here. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. A special Evan and Tiki here today. You got Lugie, you got Big Mac, you got a generational talent, you got the Midnight Rider, a reunion, a CNR reunion, a Carton Roberts reunion here on Evan and Tiki. A lot to get to. More of your calls here on the Mets. I have a Yankee, like a checklist here that I want to bounce off, Chris. A lot of Yankee stuff to get into. Giants, first preseason game is tonight. We will get into them as well. We got a Cinco de Five-O coming up at 5 o'clock. And I'll just tease it this way. I saw a movie for the first time in a while a couple months ago, and Mac has been fighting this fight for decades, and I think it's going to alleviate his pain where he will no longer have to fight this fight anymore. So that'll be coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What is this, Aunt Dottie dancing with me at a Sweet 16 or something, or Bar Mitzvah? What is this? Sorry, 233, of course,
we're
yes.
We're reunited.
Great. We are reunited. This is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, Big Mac, the Midnight Rider, the future
That's
of the
right.
station.
That's
I'm the future.
Right. No, I'm the future.
Wow.
We can fight over future. Let's arm wrestle.
See what the future is. Can you thumb wrestle? Maybe I can thumb wrestle.
I can thumb wrestle.
But I probably wouldn't beat you in that. I'm a lean cuisine. I'm a weakling. We got into a little bit of the Mets here in the open. Francisco Lindor, I think he's the MVP conversation. And we will discuss the Yankees, of course, later on. They play tonight. There is some rain in the forecast, but I think they'll get the game in. But they got the last game here with the Angels. You'll hear that on the Fan. You'll also hear the Giants tonight on the Fan. It's a preseason game. We will be splitting the signal. So we got you to 6 o'clock. But this is something I brought up, and we'll get back to your calls in 1 second. I brought this up with Tiki yesterday because Severino has now struggled in at least his last two starts, and obviously he's dealt with injuries, and you start to worry a little bit about his innings and whether he is going to slide here in the second half. I've heard from a lot of my Yankee fan friends, oh, this is the Severino we saw, here comes the collapse. And I pitched on the show yesterday, and I get it's unorthodox, but I think Mendy kind of does things like that. He goes with his gut. And I pitched the idea of turning a negative into a positive, putting Buddha in the rotation, and putting Sevy in the bullpen. Now, Tiki viewed that as a demotion for Severino, which I said, no, he would be late innings. Those are the most important outs. I know Sevy was in the pen a little bit with the Yankees, but what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think you're way off. I think you're nuts. Not so much for the Sevy part. I am not touching Buddha. You must be out of your mind. This guy's been unbelievable since he went to the bullpen. He's got a .84 ERA. He was a key factor in yesterday's game with two innings. Yeah. He's that kind of dual threat where he can come in and get you out of a jam and give you two, three innings to stabilize your bullpen for a series or a big game that you want to make sure you just get to him, to Diaz, in the fifth or sixth inning. Like, I'm not touching him. I don't know about Severino in the back end of the bullpen. I understand. I think I said 8.4. 8.7 as I'm watching on ESPN right now. Or 0.87, excuse me. So, I mean, with a 0.68 whip, I mean, the guy's been unbelievable. You want to switch those two and, what, possibly hurt both ends of it? Maybe Buddha is just as bad or not as good as what Severino's been the last two starts in the rotation, and now Sevy's not going to be able to put this in the bullpen. I'm not touching him. I love him there. I think it's been a godsend to the season. When things like this gel and happen, I don't mess with it, right? The Mets have had a bunch of kind of, you know, moments here and things, right? The Grimace thing, the OMG thing.
Positive time.
Positive time. You know, you just can't stop with it. You know, you've become very, you know, selfish. I'm just going through the legitimate things here. Can you put put it away for a second? Can you keep it in your back pocket while we're having a real conversation about the dopey suggestion you made?
We're having a real hold on a second. We're not having a real conversation. We're talking about character carrying the Mets. So it's not like we're breaking down something that's really important.
It's real. That's what I'm saying. I've seen enough magic from this freaking team. When things like Buddha happen, I don't mess with it. And the Severino part of it, look, 2021, he did pitch out of the bullpen for the Yankees, and I understand the innings limits. He's already surpassed anything he's done since 2018, and it's a concern, and it's worth watching,
okay,
no doubt about it. And the last two starts have been troubling, although it wasn't terrible the other day, but, you know.
He was bad against the Twins, the game we were at in the SMY suite.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So, yeah, you missed me. I wasn't invited, believe it or not. So I understand the idea of moving him to the bullpen. I don't view him. This is a veteran. He has had the innings at some point. I know it's been 4 or 5 years. I get it. He's dealt with injuries. I do get it. It's a one-year thing. Until he shows me he's really in trouble here and he stockpiles a bunch of bad starts, I don't think I think about it just yet. This is not Luis Gil, who's literally doing this for the first time of his career. This is Luis Severino, who's been an ace. He's pitched well into the season before. It's something to monitor. Maybe you skip a start here or there. Maybe if you get out to a big lead, you take him out in the third or fourth inning. Something crazy. You score 6 or 7 runs early on. All right, Severino can come out in the third or fourth inning. You do things like that. I am not, like, I dislike your first part, moving Severino to the bullpen. I despise your second part, moving Buddha out of the rotation.
Well, let me just be clear here. I, for months now, have been saying you got to keep Buddha in the bullpen. And you're right. He has been great. He has been a godsend. Multiple innings. His numbers are just off the charts here. My thing is with Severino also, too, is why I would move him to the bullpen. Buddha, you know, they stretched him out a couple weeks ago. It was in a blowout. Evan was having a conniption. Why are they stretching him out? And Mendy, after the game, said, well, we're contemplating maybe giving him a start.
Right.
So the Mets are at least considering doing this. And the other stuff with Severino is the mental aspect of it. There are conspiracy theorists that think Mendoza, Severino, they avoided the Yankees, right? Remember, they started him against Miami over the weekend and the Cubs, and he skipped the Yankees. So there's this possibility that maybe his mental psyche isn't where it needs to be. He's shook up the last couple games.
Yeah.
You get him in the bullpen, it calms him down. He knows he doesn't have to get 5-6 innings out of him, 1 or 2 innings. You turn a negative into a positive. Yeah. Buddha's been great. Why can't he do it over 5 or 6 innings as a starter?
Well, I don't know. His stuff has played better. His changeup has played better. His location has played better going into the bullpen. And the Severino thing, while I hear what you're saying, but you know, you said Tiki called it a demotion.
Yes.
I don't know about that, but if you're talking about a guy who's lacking confidence, jettison him to the bullpen, you think that's suddenly going to boost his confidence?
I just don't think it's, I don't like you it think as
it takes
jettison,
the, it
though.
Takes the pressure off? What pre- now it takes the, now he's got one inning to do it in the eighth or ninth, in the seventh, eighth or ninth inning, say, on a day where Diaz has pitched twice or three out of four. Now you're putting him into precious situations where he doesn't have the rope that a starting pitcher has, where if he has a bad inning, okay, I can bounce back and keep my team in it. Now you're putting him in the pressure situations. Like, I don't like it at all. For especially the confidence angle, I completely disagree with you. If you're concerned about his confidence, now I'm going to send him to the bullpen and put him in pressure situations after telling him he's not good enough to be in the rotation. Like this, it's I don't like it at all.
No, I'm not saying
I don't like it at all.
I'm not saying that I think he's at not all. Confident. I just know there are people. There have been whispers
right.
that said Luis Severino might not always be as confident. That's why they skipped the Yankee starts.
Well,
and if he's in a spot like that right now, that's why I disagreed with Tiki. I don't think it's a demotion. And if I was Mendy, I would spin it with Luis, where we need you at the back end of the bullpen to get big outs. And I just think, hey, let it rip for an inning or two, because he's struggling now as a starter, and this innings. Where he's getting to as far as innings this season is concerning, because he hasn't done it in years.
And that's your best argument is to let it rip for an inning, I suppose. Although his velocity was back in this last start. He hit 99 miles an hour. I'm not there yet. And again, I understand the inning stuff. It's a legitimate concern. But it's not like he's never done it. It's been a couple years. A lot of it's because of injury and surgery. I get that. All of it. Everything you just said, I don't like. All of it concerns me. His mental aspect, now I'm putting him in the bullpen. Yeah, and then I'm telling him, you're not good enough to be in the rotation, but I'm going to use you in the biggest of moments in a game. Like, I don't like it at all. Plus, that would now you're opening a spot where you'd have to move Buto to the rotation. Otherwise, who else are you going to put in there?
Now
you're taking your best reliever out in hopes that Severino's good at it.
We got to get Tiki back here, because Tiki, well, because I wear him down. He eventually agrees with me. This is like fighting with my wife. You said the first
if you give your wife this easy an argument over and over again, I'm not surprised you lose this.
Well, you said the first thing you said, I hated. The second thing, I think you're nuts.
Yeah.
So you basically, doubled down and said it was even worse. I'm just trying to come up with solutions because
you're creating a solution. You're breaking it to create a solution. Well, it's been two starts.
Well, hold on a second here. Senga obviously out for the regular season.
Correct.
Scott dealing with an injury.
Yes.
The rotation right now, Naya's been unbelievable. Quintana's been good.
Yeah.
Peterson, so the rotation.
Blackburn gave you two good starts.
Blackburn's been good in his first two, and he's a gamer. He's a veteran. I'm just looking at it as trying to fix something right now with Severino. You can't have him out there have a 5 ERA, down the stretch.
It's two starts.
But there's precedent, though, with the innings. That's all.
He hasn't
reached this point.
That's true.
There's a correlation.
There's no precedent of him struggling at the end of innings. It's not a precedent. We've never seen him get to an innings limit and then struggle. Necessarily, we've seen him just not be able to get those innings because of injury. And last year had nothing to do with innings; he was just awful.
Yeah,
couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
So it's not like we have when you say precedent, I don't have any precedent of Severino hitting 130 innings and then struggling. We just see he hasn't reached the innings since 2018. It's asking a lot. I get it. I think if you were that concerned about it, where two starts, like here's the argument for me. If the Mets were concerned enough about it, where the mental aspect is we're skipping the Yankees, which I think was much more about throwing lefties at the feeble Yankees than it was skipping Severino. But like, if that was the mindset where, hey, his innings are approaching, we're concerned about it, two bad starts, and suddenly we're thinking about the bullpen, then you should have traded him. Then he should have been moved, because you could have got a lot for him, and that would have been the better move than to allow two bad starts to suddenly change how I feel about Severino.
888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Chris McMonagle, a reunion. Lugie and Big Mac here on the fan. We got you to 6 o'clock. Rob is in Westchester. What's up, Rob?
Lugie and Big Mac. What's up, boys?
What's going on, Robbie?
Hey, guys, before I get to my points here, I just want to say you two are very entertaining. I love the style you both have. I like that you disagree the way you disagree. You guys should get your own show eventually. So,
I agree.
I mean that. So you guys,
thank you very much. Yeah. Hopefully, I can attach myself to his coattails as he rides to the top. Hopefully, that's something I can figure out over the course of my career here.
So,
we're working.
You guys are on your way there, man. Hey, so Lugie, you know me, man. Me and you have had how many Lindor conversations over the last 3-4 months here? A lot.
Several.
Lugie, I gave you a humongous shout out to Evan. By the way, I got to get Evan back because he hung up on me. And took a little bit of a dump on me because he said, oh, all these people who were rough on Lindor, right? So my call is regarding Lindor, right? Lugie, I will give you credit again. You were 100 to 150% correct on Lindor. I was saying this guy is no good. Trade him at the beginning of the year, May, June. I mean, how many people could disagree with me at that point, right? Not many people would probably say I was wrong. You would have, and you would have been right. Now, here's where I got to call you up again, man, and Big Mac agrees with me here. How can you say, with the way this guy's been hitting since All-Star break, that he's going to be the MVP? This guy, again, is now cold. He's ice cold. And here's how
just,
you know.
He just won a game for you, though. I understand
he's
been cold.
And I didn't
cold,
say he was going to be the MVP. I said he was in the conversation.
Well, he's not. And that's fine. Fine. And yes, Big Mac, yeah, he did great. Yeah, he won a game for us, right. But my point is, he's been ice cold
right,
for the most part. He's been ice cold for the most part since we had him back. Loogie, what's up with this whole thing where also, I got to ask you this. What's up with this thing where you say people don't like him because of his hair? By the way, I'll tell you straight up.
I have my reasons for it, Rob. I have my reasons for it. I'm sure if I shared it, people would think I'm nuts, but I have reasons to think that.
Why don't you share it? You've shared it with me before on a call.
All right, you know what, Rob? I will share it. I'll share it. I have no problem with that.
It's an open spot.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Rob.
We're in the circle of
I can give any kind of sports opinion I want on this station, and I will. And people will disagree. They'll say this, that, and the other. When I read the online hate for me when they post pictures, why does this guy have a backwards hat? This guy still has his ears pierced? It bothers people around here, stuff like that, because maybe they're not comfortable with their own self. So I experience it. I'm not Francisco Lindor. I'm not even close to Francisco Lindor. But I understand that. I wear a backwards hat. Right. I wear skinny jeans. Right. I wear ripped jeans. I like colors like that. I am like that, and I get hate for it. So I can only imagine, and I'm not making $300 million to play shortstop for the Mets. Right. So that's why I think that.
This is why I'm a generational
talent. You can have that opinion. Just so you know, I don't like his style, and I don't like that he has hair extensions. Should I be crucified because
no,
I said
no, no.
that?
No, I'm not saying you should be crucified. I like that you admitted it, though, Rob, because there's a lot of people that don't, and they point to batting average and stupid nonsense because deep down they don't like stuff like that, the extensions or whatever. And he's allowed to look like that, and you're allowed to not like it, but at least you admitted it because there's a lot of people that won't.
I admit that, but guess what? I respect him as a baseball player, right? So here's what I'll say. I think he was the crucial player for why we went on that run. Plus Iglesias, oh my God, right? We had that. We were all hot. But guess what? Oh my God is kind of starting to fade. If you're a Mets fan who watches every game like I do, I fell asleep last night. They ended up winning. If you're a Mets fan like me and everyone who watches, you're going to say, and you watch Lindor strikeouts, oh geez, is he going to go back to what he was doing in May again? That's my fear.
Yeah, but then he got the big hit. And then, so your fears, you're right.
I mean, I think that's everybody's fear of every player. Right. Is he going to now be the slump? But you know what I want to just point out there again? Because I don't want to harp on this and make it like a big deal, because I've kind of said it a couple times now. But the idea that you take your opinion about why people dislike Lindor because of how you've internalized why people don't like you, you have really just focused completely on making everything about you. Now I'm rather impressed by it because it's gotten some legs. It's amazing. But the idea that you think that people don't like Lindor's backwards hat because people say things to you about your backwards hat, or that people
is it
get
not
on
the
you,
same audience? Though?
I suppose. I'm just. It's just.
He just
funny
told
to
you
me.
The guy said he doesn't like hair
it's
extensions.
It's just funny to me because I have the same opinion of Brian Cashman, or I have the same opinion of. Aaron Boone sometimes, and I never think to myself, you know how I know they don't like Aaron Boone? Because they don't like me. I've never even pondered it. Hasn't even come across my mind. But you're right.
It's not so much that, it's just I understand it, because I'm telling you,
no.
I could say anything, and people will trash that too.
Yeah, sure.
But it bothers people to their core that I'm almost 40 and I wear a backwards hat. Who the hell cares? What are you, my stylist? Yeah. I'll do whatever the hell I want, whatever I want to. Yeah. What do you care about the
good
way I dress?
No, you're right.
And my ears are still pierced? Yes, I have earrings. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
You're
but
right.
This
constantly.
Is why I'm the future.
So I just think, all right, if they hate me for that, I'm just a radio host, the $300 million shortstop doing that.
Right.
And a lot of guys around the league don't do that. He's not a ball player. That's it. That's why I made that correlation.
Gotcha.
I haven't said it till now, but you got it out of me.
I had nothing to do with it, but I hear you. Good for you. You should weigh what you want to weigh, and so should Lindor. Absolutely. Has nothing to do with it. He is a brilliant baseball player. The problem for me is there have been times when the Mets needed him, and he wasn't there. I think that's fair. This year he's been there, but no one doubts his ability. Last year was a good year. Look at his numbers. Ultimately, he will come to the back of the baseball card, but he's got to do it in the biggest moments. That's what comes with the money. Same thing with Judge. Judge gets booed in the postseason. Why? He hit 60 friggin' home runs, and he carried that miserable offense all the way to the ALCS, mm-hmm. and then he has a bad series against Houston, and he gets booed. That's what it is. The Mets have floundered and haven't won as much as they should have during his tenure. I think it's that simple. But you got a guy to fully admit that you're right, so maybe
and
you're
also
right.
To the thumbs down thing. That wasn't good.
Right.
And
That's true.
I can't even defend Lindor on that.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah.
He realized it was bad. He apologized quickly.
Right.
Much like, and we'll get to Glaber in a little bit. I think Glaber said all the right things.
Absolutely.
Friday night. So he did the right things. Because whenever you have a situation like that, yes, you committed what you committed. The apology, especially quickly, gets you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there's some people harboring the thumbs down.
Sure.
The contract, the
That's
way
right,
he
yeah.
plays, the smiling, the way he dresses. I'm telling you, I think it's an over everything. I think it's all in one.
Yeah,
little,
I mean, listen,
you know,
the way he plays, too, because there is a little bit, it's not as dramatic as some other players, but I think Beltran got some hate
100%.
Because of the smoothness of his game.
Yep.
Same thing with Robinson Cano. There were Yankee fans who hated Robinson Cano.
Thought it was lazy in the way he went about it because he was so easy the way he made it look.
Even just the way he would throw underhand sometimes from second base, and it's like, can you just throw it over? And like, there's a style and a flair and a smoothness to some of these guys' games. Gleyber Torres has it a little bit, but then he, you know, he compounds it with being actually lazy.
Yeah, and mentally checked out.
But there are some of those players, and the fans, they want to see, everyone should be, no matter how talented you are, everyone should be David Eckstein.
Brett Gardner.
Everyone should be Brett Gardner. Everyone should give...
Dustin Pedroia.
Right. Dustin Pedroia is a perfect
hustle,
example. Yes.
Run the ball. Yep. Like Stanton gets crap for it. This guy's going to pull a hamstring when he sneezes.
Right.
So if he doesn't run out of ball once in a while, it's to save and preserve
his
body.
Correct.
I wonder if Jazz will get that too, because by the way, I love Jazz Chisholm. I do.
Yeah.
And I think he's brought a lot here, and he's going to be super popular, and he's been, you know, non-selfish, even though there was stupid reports out that he was not going to be good for the clubhouse and maybe the Yankees would make the deal.
Yeah.
This guy went to third base, didn't say boo, and he's been unbelievable. So
he's been... And listen, he struggled, right? He's been striking out crazy since he put on the pinstripe, so we'll see if he comes around. But yeah, the trade already feels like a success. Just because they needed something to, like, snap them out of it. And clearly that helped. And he had some big hits.
Yep. And we will get more into the Yankees in a little bit. I have a checklist here that I want to run through McMonagle. We have a Cinco de Fivo coming up at 5 o'clock. And I saw a movie recently that I think will solve a lot of the agita that Chris McMonagle has been dealing with.
You're going to solve my agita?
I think so. It's going to take a little
bit.
That
would be very helpful.
It's going to take, there's going to be some yelling, but I think ultimately it will solve all your agita. 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, Chris McMonagle, the Midnight Rider here on Evan and Tiki. We will get your calls on the other side. Fanatics Fest, NYC takes over the Javits Center August 16th to the 18th. Don't miss this powerhouse event with over 100 athletes, including Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, and the Manning brothers. Catch a star-studded Knicks panel featuring Jalen Brunson, the King of New York, and Josh Hart. Dive into interactive sports challenges like the 40-yard dash and score exclusive Topps card drops. Don't miss out. Visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athlete lineup. Be part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. For tickets and information, go to FanaticsFest.com. That's FanaticsFest.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.